The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This morning's Gospel comes from John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I've used this analogy before, but it's always one that comes back in my head when it comes to talking about things like seeing is believing. I remember years ago, actually it'd be a little over 8 years now, I remember the day that, it was interesting. I remember we were home visiting my parents. We were in Sioux Falls visiting my parents, and over that weekend, it was just a weekend trip, Carmen was just sicker than a dog. She just really wasn't feeling well all weekend. And I remember when we were packing up on that Sunday afternoon to go back to the hills, I remember my mom pulling me aside, and she said, "Craig, I know it's none of my business, but I had this sneaking suspicion maybe Carmen might be pregnant." I was like, "No, Mom, there's no way. No, Mom, no. And we got in the car, and Carmen looked at me, and she goes, what was that about? And I said, "My mom just thinks you're pregnant." And Carmen's like, "What?" Needless to say, 6 hours later, we were back in Hill City, and I went to the store and got a couple tests, and by the next morning, the first test said positive, the second test said positive, the fifth test said positive, and about 3 days later, there we were at the doctor's office. And I remember they even had Carmen go into the bathroom and use the cup, the specimen cup, right, Lori? As nurses, we know what that is. And about 10 minutes later, here we are sitting in a room talking to the lady, one of the doctors, and she's talking to us about what Carmen is to expect and how these next months will probably play out. And these are some other appointment dates that we're going to schedule. And here I am as the husband. I finally look at the lady. I said, "Well, ma'am, all due respect, what did Carmen's test say in the room?" She looks at me and she goes, "Young man, I'm just going to say this. I would not have just gone through the last 15 minutes of telling you what to expect if it said negative." Seeing is believing, right? Seeing is believing. I will say, though, even in that moment, even after the tests, even after those initial appointments, I didn't really feel like a father yet. I mean, I was told that this is going to be a part of our story. I was told this was a part of our reality. I've been to the doctor's office. Carmen is now buying all the books, the Dr. Sears books off Amazon and everything, and she's excited. We both had these mixed emotions as to what to expect, but I didn't feel like a father. Until that one appointment, the first appointment with the ultrasound, and I remember they did the jelly thing on Carmen's belly, and here's the lady, she's using the wand, and then I saw this little tiny grain of rice, this little peanut-looking thing on the black circle, and this little beating heart, 122 beats a minute, I think it was. And I had a smile on my face, and I looked at Carmen, she had the biggest smile on her face, and it was at that moment that I was like, I'm going to be a dad. Seeing is believing. Believing is seeing for us human beings. Once I saw this image on the screen, this image that had no actual resemblance of a human being as of yet, I was convinced that Carmen and I were going to be a part of this thing called new life. And so it is with Thomas. So it is with Thomas. Thomas, our 11th disciple in the room, the disciple who shows up last, the disciple who we have for some reason doubted as, or dubbed as the doubting one, doubting Thomas, the one who doesn't believe, doubting Thomas. Why do we give him that label? Why have we, through all the centuries, been so harsh on Thomas? Every single year, the week after Easter is dubbed as the Doubting Thomas Week, the Doubting Thomas text. Every single year. Some of our texts only repeat every 3 years. This one, every single year, this particular week, we talk about the Doubting One. Now, God did make us creatures of our senses, did he not? I mean, God made us to have sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing as a necessary part of our livelihood. We wouldn't survive in this harsh world without having our senses. Of course, we can make it lacking one or two of them. We've probably identified neighbors in our lives or family members who unfortunately can't hear or can't see or other hosts of senses. We can survive, but if you took away all sensory perceptions, this world wouldn't make sense, and quite frankly, this world would absolutely kill us. But here we are, Thomas asking to see for himself, to see this risen Lord, to see his dear friend Jesus Christ for himself. And why the heck wouldn't he? The Marys were able to meet an angel standing in front of them proclaiming the good news. The other disciples were locked away in this upper room out of fear of what their community might do to them if they could get their hands on these new followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus appears to them in order to comfort them and bring peace to them and to encourage them. But Thomas, the latecomer, enters the room and wants the same experience, but we call him the Doubting One. We call him the Doubting One. It's suddenly easy for us, those of us who have the benefit of being able to read the Bible and knowing the whole picture of God's story, because as Deacon Chris said, we are an Easter people. We know the end of the story. It's easy for us to forget that all of the disciples have already doubted in Christ's death and resurrection. Let's remember that. All of the disciples have already doubted. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times when questioned by the other Jews. All the others fled from the garden in Jesus' trial, never to be seen again until this scene in our story. We just went through Holy Week, and after that Thursday, the rest of them no longer seen. They're unfit for the rest of the story until this moment. This after Easter, this post-resurrection appearance in this room, Thomas was not the only doubting person in this story. And we too this morning, whether we are sitting at home on the couch, or maybe I saw this really funny meme on Facebook. I saw someone creatively put a row of chairs right here and a row of chairs right here, and they were sitting on the couch in the back row, just like we Lutherans would do, right? Maybe some of us are doing that at home. Maybe some of us are still in bed. I won't say names, but one of our parishioners said to me yesterday, I ran into them, they said, "Well, Pastor, what happens when that day comes that we come back to church? What if I actually come in my pajamas with my donut and coffee?" I said, "That is perfectly fine by me." So maybe you're in bed in your pajamas with a cup of coffee. But we too are sitting here this morning in whatever that context looks like. And we say that we believe in this resurrected Christ, this resurrected King, this resurrected Savior of ours. But just wait. Just wait until life hands that deck of cards to each of us. And for many of us, that deck of cards have been handed to us right now and have been for the last few weeks. Right now, we are in this place, in this time, in this position, in which we are genuinely asking what it is that we believe. Genuinely asking what it is that we should believe. And we're doing this absolute balance between, is what the news is telling us believable? Is what the leaders of our country telling us believable? Is the leaders of the medical community believable? Is the pastor and what the pastor and the staff of the church saying, is that believable? What is it that we believe? Just wait and see the feelings that arise in our heart, and see which questions may come out of our mouths or which volatile words we might express. We have all had our doubts at some point in our lives. And maybe for some of us right now, we are really struggling with that question of doubt. We all have moments when we needed to touch Jesus' wounds in order to be convinced of this whole Easter story. But we have the audacity. We have the audacity to pick on Thomas and call Thomas the doubting one. In verse 28 of our gospel, when Jesus finally appears to Thomas, "Peace be with you, Thomas," and he tells him to put his hand in his side and to touch the nail holes in his hands, Thomas replies, "My Lord, my God, my Lord, my God." No one else in John's gospel ever declares that. No one except Thomas. And in fact, in the very beginning, all the way back at the beginning of John's gospel, it's Thomas' words and through his ability to see and touch the risen Lord Jesus Christ that he takes us all the way back to the beginning of John's gospel, in which John begins by stating who God is, a God of the word made flesh, the word that would die on a cross. And now through Thomas, we are coming full circle. God is standing in front of Thomas and we have the words, "My Lord, my God." I want to close by saying this. Seeing is believing is a motto that many of us have heard before and say time and again. I saw this short clip on Facebook yesterday. It was Phil Robertson, one of the Duck Dynasty guys. And I could not for the life of me find the clip again this morning. But it was him talking about seeing and believing. It was a perfect little 3-minute video that would apply directly to today. He talks about this. He says, seeing is believing is what we say. I don't see God, but I believe in him. I don't see this virus, but we sure as heck believe in it. Many of us believe in it, and we're told to believe in it and take it full-heartedly. Why? Because the results. Because of numbers. Because of images of doctors and nurses. Because of images of mass graves. Because of images of the coughing people, of the people suffering. Because of fill in the blank for you. We believe it because of results. That's what Phil Robertson said, and I was scratching my head in awe at how accurate he was. I don't believe, or I don't see God walking in here, but I profess that I believe him because of the results. Now, the question we got to ask ourselves this morning is, what are those results? And right now, we are longing, we are hungry for results. We are hungry for God's results. But I have hope. I have hope with the rainbow hearts in the pews around us that still stand and will stand until people can come back into these walls and pick them up themselves. I have hope in the results of the people that are streaming in. I shared this morning, as of a couple days ago when I went back and looked at our Easter Sunday post, we were up to 2.3 or 2.6 thousand hits on Easter Sunday. People want the results. They want to hear the story. They want to be reminded by the story. Tammy and I, we've been asking people's questions come in. I'm not going to give you a hint as to those questions, but I can tell you this. Those questions are people that are hungry to know the story, are hungry to be with God, and hungry to know that God's story is going to triumph over this COVID-19 story. The results are each and every one of us in what we say and what we do. I came almost unglued this week when I gave my live stream. I'm tired of the finger pointing, right? The results, God's results, are how we treat our neighbors in what we type, in what we say, in what we do. The results start with each of us. Yesterday, Carmen took it upon herself to take sidewalk chalk, and she went outside and just started writing Bible verses on the sidewalk. We have dozens and dozens of people that walk by the front of our house every day. She goes, I'm going to give them something to read while they walk by. What are you going to do today to give those results? To give those results. Not for the sake of your well-being, Chris, or Lori, or Jeff, or the rest of us listening. It's not about results, like, for the sake of my salvation. What I'm talking about is we are the results. Our Easter story, us living into that Easter story, us being the Thomases that say, my Lord and my God, we get to create and give the results for others so that they can see to believe. I know our Lord says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We human beings, time and again, want to see. So let's give our neighbors something to see. Doubting Thomas? I call him honest Thomas. Thanks be to God. Amen.